Hi, I'm Chris Lucian, and welcome back to the Mob Mentality Show. I'm here with Austin Chadwick and our guest, Aaron Griffith. Welcome, Aaron. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
All right. So, I think today we have our traditional Kanban board here, and so we'll go through some topics. And so, I've been working with you for some time now, and so we have a lot of interesting history built up together. So, one thing that I think was really interesting that I think the audience might like to hear about is your experience for report for mobbing with introverts. You're here with two people that are maybe more extroverted, so you know, and we're asking you to talk to the world right now here. So I think maybe the first thing that we can cover is talk a little bit about that experience report, maybe, and then leading up to what it means to you today. We went from being five people to 27 people now in where we work. So what are your thoughts? Where do you want to go with that?
I guess that first started, I guess Jason Kearney had just done his experience report. I think it was my first team. Mm-hmm. And it talked about his mobbing and how much he enjoyed it. And Rebecca had sort of shepherded him with his experience report, and so he had just finished his at the Big Agile conference, and he introduced me to Rebecca and said that that might be something I'm interested in doing as an experience report. So I talked to Rebecca a little bit about it and came up with some ideas, and you know, the thing with introverts came up. So I was like, yeah, sure, let's do it. So you know, it was a pretty good process. I spent a lot of time, you know, working on the draft. Rebecca was super good about, you know, putting in edits and recommendations. It was a fun process to go through. I kind of learned a lot about myself too, about introverts, things that I sort of knew, but you know, sort of digging in and doing research. There was a couple of moments like, oh yeah, like that's just how we are. Like I'm not weird. So there was a couple of moments like that. But yeah, it was a good experience. And then, you know, then you get the added benefit is you have to speak about it. So then you have to be up in front of a crowd, which is not an introvert's favorite place. So that's always nice to sort of get out of your comfort zone a little bit and challenge yourself.
Yeah, so what I was going to say is one huge thanks, because that article has helped a lot of people with mobbing. And I still see it on Twitter every so often is like, mob programming, how do introverts survive? You know, that sounds terrible. I'm an introvert. How could I possibly do mobbing? So what's kind of your first reaction to someone's thought on mob programming and introverting just being like a direct contradiction?
it's kind of a paradox for me, just because like I look at that style of working and I look at my personality and I'm like, yeah, that's crazy. Like, I would never want to do that. But then, you know, once I started doing it, you know, there's just so many other benefits that, if you're in a safe environment, all those other things sort of just fall away and you can just sort of enjoy the work and, you know, be yourself and not have to worry about it. But I, you know, when Sharon started working, you know, we interviewed her, she had the same question. You know, she's like, oh, well, I'm an introvert. I don't even know, think she asked it. I mentioned it. I said, you know, I'm an introvert and I really love this environment. It's great. And then she said, after she got hired, that she said she was really glad to hear that, because she was super nervous about, you know, because the way we do the interview, there's sort of a mob style interview. So it can be a little bit intimidating, and she was concerned about that. But she said when she heard that, she said that put her at ease. And I mean, she's still there now, so. Yeah. She enjoys it, I believe.
What would be your number one piece of advice to somebody who is introverted, who's about to join a mob or start mob programming?
I don't know. Probably the things that, you know, that an introvert never wants to hear, and it's just jump in with both feet and do it, which is much easier said than done sometimes.
All right. How about the experience of the team growing and getting a lot more people in? How has that affected you?
That's been a little bit of a challenge, I guess, the team growing, because, you know, I'm on my team that I'm comfortable with and I enjoy. and you know, like that's my team, and there's other teams, and I know people that I've worked with closely on those other teams, but then you get the new people coming in. I guess it's sort of easy to not get to know them, you know, when you're on your own team. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, switching mobs is a good thing. It's something that, you know, I need to do soon, just to get experience with other technologies and working with other people, and you know, get out of my little safe bubble that I've recreated. But yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, I think maybe one last question for you, Aaron, is I know in more of like a Myers-Briggs type definition of introvert, it's about like where you get energy, mm-hmm. when you're with people or by yourself. What are some techniques you've had if for an introvert in that sense to, you know, make it through mobbing, for example, full time or something like that? You know, how do you keep the energy low and not be completely drained at energy high and not be completely drained at the end of the day, I guess?
I don't know. I mean, I don't really have that problem.
Okay.
But I mean, maybe that's because I'm on a 3-person team, so we're kind of small.
Okay.
So we don't, you know, it's not too bad. But you know, and then as an introvert, sometimes your brain just spins off and you just kind of go off on your own thoughts anyway. So, and because we mob and we rotate, you have time to do that. And sometimes I don't even realize it that I'm, you know, either spinning off on another thread in the code or, you know, just whatever I'm daydreaming about or whatever. But that, and, you know, we're free to take breaks. So just get up, go outside, walk around the building. Or just, you know, like just today, like there were some independent research moments that we had. So because that's time you get by yourself, you just, you know, doing your research. So there's lots of opportunities that come pretty organically.
Nice. Yeah, that reminds me of what Jason Kearney said about his mobbing, was you're not chained to the mob, right? If you need to take a break, you know, you can go walk away, take a break, you know, kind of revamp your energy or go, you know, research, and the code will keep moving, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he talks about that a lot. He really struggled with that at first, you know, just even being afraid to go to the bathroom or get a cup of coffee just because he was afraid of missing out.
Yeah.
But he got over that real quick.
Yeah, I didn't give Chris permission to use the restroom when he was mobbing today, so I don't know. Working around that. All right.
Yeah, okay. So let's talk about another topic that I know you're passionate about. That's the psychological safety aspect of the work that we do. So what in particular do you want to talk about on this topic, and how can we get into the conversation?
I don't know. I just like the whole idea of psychological safety. And I remember when I first started working out of college, like that wasn't even a thing. And if it was, I guess I wasn't talking to the right people or reading the right material. But
the popularity of psychological safety as a concept, I think, is pretty recent. And I think it originated in high risk environments, right? Like medical or aviation, and then slowly made its way out. And I think Google recently made it more popular, right?
So for me, it's just, I'm just happy that people are talking about it, and it's like a thing now that, like, hey, you know, if we're nice to each other, we can get more work done and people are happy and things just in general go better. You know, just the fact that people are aware of it and it's out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably my favorite thing about it. It's starting to catch on and people are embracing it.
So I know, like, psychological safety has a lot to do with the ability to give feedback and receive feedback from peers and not have it hurt a relationship. Are there any situations or anything like that that you think of wouldn't have been possible without psychological safety, anything along those lines that bring it up? Because I know that, you know, we start with kindness, consideration, and respect, and then and the ultimate goal, I think, right, of psychological safety is to be able to give and receive feedback well. So what are your thoughts on that?
I hate giving and receiving feedback.
It's hard, yeah.
You know, yeah, I mean, especially as an introvert, you know, just, it's not my favorite thing to do. But when you work at a place where, you know, it's sort of spoken about, it's sort of your one of your working roles, then it makes it easy, makes it easier that when you do want to have one of those conversations, you can have that conversation. And, you know, I've had a couple of those, and, you know, they're always super scary before you have them. But then usually afterwards, you're like, oh, that wasn't so bad. And, you know, you're glad you had the conversation.
Is the air of psychological safety enabling that behavior? Like, without it, would you have never sought the feedback or given the feedback?
Yeah, probably. I would just internalize it and hold a grudge and get cancer because I'm pulling it all in. I mean, I would do that. Like, when I was early in my career, I'd just sit quietly and be bitter about it.
Okay, yeah. So
knowing that you can talk about it definitely makes it easier.
Psychological safety, alleviating life's bitterness.
I like it. Nice. Yeah. So kind of riffing off the introvert-extrovert thing. So for me, being an extrovert, to speak up about a problem is not as hard. Mm-hmm. But probably something that's easier for me to do kind of destructively is maybe break psychological safety in an environment. Like, so from your perspective, what are things that make psychological safety harder or worse in a mobbing or a team environment for like an extrovert to do or just for anyone in general to do? Like things, kind of anti-patterns you've seen as far as psychological safety.
Wow, anti-patterns and psychological safety.
I did have a positive side of that question too, but we can go start.
All right. I haven't seen this. This is me just sort of theory crafting out loud, but, I could see it possibly being used as a crutch where people are being super direct and just sort of, you know, maybe blurting things out and not, you know, not being careful how they choose their words, maybe.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just sort of like, oh, like, you know, I'm just trying to be open or honest, you know, the delivery or the intent, maybe not necessarily being there.
Yeah.
That's, so in the Radical Candor book, I think that's referred to obnoxious aggression.
Yeah.
It's like being candid without being, caring personally. Right. Yeah. That becomes aggressive sounding. I think,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And, but I mean, at the same, the sort of the other side is that, you know, there's just people that's their personality and that's just the way they deliver things. And if you pay attention, you'll see that, you know, they treat everyone like that too. So.
Yeah. So being self-aware and being aware of patterns, right?
Right.
I guess, and not taking things personally. That's part of why I like the four agreements idea, right? Like, so one of the four agreements is don't take things personally. And I think that goes a long way because you might see patterns of behavior that you might have once become bitter about or just taken and internalized. And that, you know, so in an environment that promotes psychological safety that maybe has people going too far, that going too far might not be intended as an attack and most likely isn't intended. Like if we assume, you know, the prime directive, right? If we assume that everything was done with the best intent, with the information that they had and things along those lines, then in all of those cases, we would have to say we begin by assuming the best of intentions and then work backward to unwind those things and prevent ourselves from being bitter.
Right? Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I could see that in... and I guess maybe the follow-up question is, what are things you've seen, Aaron, that have contributed to receiving feedback well or making it feel more open that you can give feedback? Are there things you've seen in the mob or people have done that like, that made it much easier to speak up or...
just seeing it in action, I guess, you know, I don't know, like this a few months ago, there was something with the way we had our Kanban board arranged and it had been changed and it wasn't really working, you know, for our day-to-day work. And so, you know, I sort of mentioned like, I'm not sure this is working. Can we, you know, talk about going back to the way we were previously doing it? And it had been bothering me for a while. And I was just like, yeah, you know, whatever. I'm at the board and I'm just going to mention it. And so it just, you know, and then we're like, oh, yeah. You know, John was like, yeah, I kind of liked it the other way too. And so then when everyone agreed, and like that was it. It was like I was sitting here stressing over it. And it was like a 3 to 5 minute conversation. And then we were, you know, running an experiment. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. To me, I'd say that's it. Just, you know, being brave and, you know, open about things and just speaking up and then seeing it. We're like, hey, that worked. And this is what adults do. So,
yeah, I remember reading the Fearless Organization book and talking about one of the first chapters that talks about one of the best ways to move forward with psychological safety is just to pretend that you have it and like actually start having conversations like that. But I mean, it is the difference, right? So if you're constantly managing your perception, your self-perception to others, right? You're doing perception management, then you're likely to not give that feedback. But if you are, or receive feedback, right? And so that small moment of making one thing slightly better, right, is one of the major benefits of this, is that that sort of thing happens all the time throughout an entire organization, right?
Yeah. And I second what you're saying, Aaron, because it just takes the courage for one person to speak up, and then it's like it starts snowballing. More and more people start speaking up, right? Yeah. Like, oh, I was thinking that too. And then once the gates open, more and more people feel comfortable sharing. So having courage to be the first one to start it, get it going, is definitely admirable. So,
okay.
Ready for the next one?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
What do we got?
Innovation pipeline, yes. Got some fancy one-handed sticky moving you down there, Chris. Yeah.
It's the presentation aspect of facilitating retrospectives. Like, this hand is moving the board around, and this hand's not. Anyway.
That'd be another episode. Teach us the one finger grab.
Okay, so so we talked a little bit about innovation. I think this is one of your favorite topics, right? Mm-hmm. I know we have a process for moving ideas through and making sure people are heard. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I mean, do they have a website where you can submit ideas, and anyone in the company can submit an idea? And I think there's even a way for outside people to submit ideas as well. And they had something similar many years ago, and I had submitted an idea to it, and it kind of went to the black hole, and then it just wasn't fun to see your idea just disappear and, you know, not get any feedback. So I kind of hadn't thought about it for a while, but then I guess recently they've sort of been talking about the site more. And so I went and I looked at it, and it's pretty neat. I mean, everybody's ideas on there. There's like a comment section, so people are talking about the ideas. And then there's there's one person who sort of sole responsibility is to maintain those ideas and make sure that, you know, they get addressed and get in front of the right people.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So I went and I had a couple ideas. One of them was the one that had disappeared into the black hole. So I re-entered that one. And it got a pretty good response, which is, it's always exciting to see, you know, people respond to your idea in a positive way. And then I put some ideas up there that were really dumb, and they didn't get as much response, but nobody said that was dumb.
What?
You know, it's like, oh, we'll look into that, or, you know, we'll show this to such and such person who might be interested.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's just, and of course they gamified it. You get points and things like that. And after so many points, you get a cool T-shirt that says innovation on it.
I think the book Smarter, Faster, Better talks a little bit about gamified systems for encouraging innovation and collaboration and things like that. That sounds a lot like that sort of system. So what happens to an idea after it's been submitted? Like, what happens next?
You probably know better than me, but I mean, it goes through some evaluation process. Yeah. Like, what do they call them? Phase gates?
Committees.
Yeah. So it goes through a different set of committees to determine if it's a viable idea. And I guess a lot of ideas don't come to fruition, but there's a good number that do.
And so just for clarification, these are like big picture projects, not like, hey, I want to reorder my own Kanban board. This is like big picture visions for potential product ideas for the company. It's not like something that your individual team can do. It's like...
Well, it can be anything.
It can be anything, right? Yeah. Okay.
There's even things just around, you know, a process improvement, you know, within the organization. There was one, I guess, that was complaining about, or not really complaining, but suggesting a better way to manage bathroom supplies, I think. Mm-hmm. So, and then that was like one of the most popular ideas, and it was just around how the bathrooms are stocked with, you know, paper towels and toilet paper and things just within our organization. But it got a little, you know, everyone's involved with that, so everyone can have opinion about that. Or you get into like a more specialized product line or something, then only the people who work on that may. But when you're talking about what's in a bathroom, like everybody can have an opinion on that. So, you know, there's things like that.
It's like a forum, so there's lots of ways to comment on it and bring that stuff up. And so it's available to create even process improvements, new products, things along those lines all through the organization and get visibility everywhere, right?
Yeah.
I think one thing to me that really discourages innovative thinking is when, like you said, if an idea just goes nowhere, right? Like that's probably the worst thing that could be happening, because a lot of a lot of intelligent people at the companies, right? You hire people because they're intelligent and you want to get their ideas into the system, right?
Nice. Cool.
Very cool.
Yeah. Anything else on innovation pipelines? Are we ready to close out this episode?
I was going to say one more thing about the... I was talking to one of my teammates, and he was suggesting, there's sort of a feature in one of the products we're working on that we've suggested, and it just hasn't caught on, but we get a lot of customer feedback that has made the same suggestion. So, the idea was that we start using the innovation site and including the customer feedback in the innovation site to say, listen, here's this idea we've had, and here's the reason why. Like, here's all the other people, customers, paying money with their wallets open that want this idea too. Maybe we should think about it.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know, I just really like it just because it gets people talking on the website, and then you bump into someone on campus and then it starts a real conversation.
Yeah. And that's a big thing, right? Like, so for me, I think a lot of the suggestions that I make, I always try and put some financial meaning behind it, right? Like, what are the second order effects of your suggestion? And that goes for justifying things like mobbing or all the way to talking about, product development and innovation in general, is that we always kind of went away of saying, okay, well, how does the second order effects lead back to the financials, and then get that in there. And so a lot of the times an idea might not gain its legs until there are a lot of people that realize the financial backing around it, right? So that's a great idea.
Yeah, you're mentioning like bumping into other people in the company, it seems like a good way to encourage cross-discipline collaboration, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not just like, oh, the software developers have their innovation pipeline and it's segregated from everyone else. It sounds like this is like a organizational-wide thing, right? And so it can kind of help fuel camaraderie and collaboration amongst several different perspectives, right? And so you get a much more fully orbed idea and potential solution or product. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, one of the ideas I had put in was just a... It wasn't something I really knew about, so it was around the plastic and putting the pieces together. But then another guy in the company, he saw the idea and he actually put the prototype together and got the necessary parts, and he actually made it and he posted on there. He's like, oh, I've got it in my office if anyone wants to come see it. So I went by and I looked at it and I was like, oh, this is pretty neat. Yeah. So yeah, that's a lot of that does happen and it's pretty cool. Yep.
Nice. Right on. So you guys ready to call it an end of the episode?
That's it.
All right. So follow us on Twitter and YouTube, Mob Mentality Show, and we love your comments and feedback on show ideas or ways to make it better. And with that said, have a good one. We'll see you next time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Like and subscribe.